Tonight we're going to continue our study of the Old Testament book by book with an overview of the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is one that has a universal appeal. It is one that is similar in many respects to the parables that Jesus would give in the gospel records. And it's also similar to the book of James. In fact, the book of James has been called the Christian book of Proverbs, and such it is, simply because in both of these books, you do not necessarily have a central theme or thought that goes through the entire book, but it is very short, pithy, accurate statements concerning truth and concerning what God would expect of mankind. And so the Hebrew word proverb, as well as its Greek equivalent, gives forth the indication of a comparison. And when you look at the book of Proverbs and what is recorded here, that is very much what you have. You have a comparison, but it is, in the Hebrew anyway, the Hebrew language, it is very much like a parable as well. Though in English we make a distinction between those two, parable and proverb, and yet in the Hebrew, there was no real distinction that was to be made. Proverb is defined as a short, pithy, axiomatic, or self-evident statement. And much of the book of Proverbs is just exactly that. What the book of Psalms was for devotional life, the book of Proverbs is for practical life. And recognized in the Old Testament times as such, but certainly even today, many practical applications can be made from the book of Proverbs for the New Testament Christian. Proverbs, of course, is classified in the section of the Old Testament that's known as wisdom literature, starting with the book of Job, and we noticed the book of Psalms last week. Now the book of Proverbs. And wisdom, of course, is that which is defined as the practical application of knowledge. Wisdom is different from knowledge. In fact, James tells us wisdom comes from God, and that we should ask God for wisdom, and he's more than ready to give us wisdom. But as far as knowledge, we have to get that on our own. And so wisdom in Proverbs is the idea of coming to see things as God sees them, because God is going to tell us through the writer of the book of Proverbs these various things that he wants us to know, such as he does through all the revelation of God. A proverb is a general truth that is generally recognized by all people. Now, that is not to say that if all people do not accept it, it's not a proverb. That's not the case. But it is such that the proverbs are things that most people will accept. They readily admit that those things are true, whether they accept the ultimate conclusion of those or not. And the book of Proverbs is one that is quoted by Luke. It is quoted by the Apostle Paul, quoted by the Apostle Peter, as well as the Apostle James and the writer of the book of Hebrews. And we simply make mention of that because that tends to place confidence on the book as far as what is recorded there when other inspired writers will refer to it and quote from it and demonstrate their acceptance of the book, and such is the case. Concerning the writer of the book of Proverbs, the majority of it is written by Solomon, but not all of it. In fact, we have more than one writer in the book of various proverbs that are recorded in it. We have some that are simply designated as the wise or the wise man who speaks this, and we normally recognize Solomon as being the wise man, and he may very well be the one that's included in making these proverbs, these statements, but it is not designated exactly that is the case. We also have some of them that come from the men of King Hezekiah, the wise men of King Hezekiah. We have some that are given by Agur, who is known as the oracle. And then toward the close of the book of Proverbs, we have some that are given by King Lemuel and his mother. And Jewish, some think anyway, that Lemuel is in fact Bathsheba's pet name for Solomon. And therefore, again, it's Solomon with Bathsheba being described here as being the one giving these particular proverbs and this advice. And that may very well be the case. We cannot know for sure. As far as when it was written, Jewish tradition says that Solomon wrote it probably in the middle years of his life. We know that when Solomon comes to the latter years of his life, he will turn away from God and he'll turn away from the truth, having married so many wives that they turn his heart away from God. We learn from 1 Kings chapter 11. And so it is believed that probably he did not write these proverbs at that particular time in his life. And so generally accepted as being such that he wrote them during the middle years of his reign as king, middle years of his life. When you think concerning the purpose of the book of Proverbs, it is very much in order to give moral instruction, and especially to those who are young. When you open up the book of Proverbs, it begins from the very outset, and it says, beginning in verse 2, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. And so the indication is that the book of Proverbs is written to a young person in order to give them wisdom, in order to give them instruction, in order to give them understanding of how they should conduct themselves and how they should live their lives. It is not contemporary or ancient folklore, but it is in fact God's revelation of himself to mankind through the wise man Solomon. And it is the oldest and the most authoritative book on ethics in all the world. In fact, it is one of the greatest books, it is the greatest book that one could use in order to teach ethics to the young as well as to the old. It is what God has to say to us concerning himself, concerning others, and concerning our relationship with others and with himself. And it is almost impossible to consider the book as a whole because it is, in essence, a series of proverbs, as we've already noted. There's not a central theme or subject that carries with it throughout the book. It jumps from one subject to another, as we're going to notice some of those subjects in this overview. It is often a neglected book because of that very thing, and yet it is one that is extremely necessary for us to know and to understand in order to know God and to know his requirements and his expectations when it comes to living, even though it is in the Old Testament. It is part of that which has been done away, and yet, as Paul brings out in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, it is part of that which we are to know, and we are to learn from it. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And so it is certainly part of that Old Testament writings that we are to know and to understand and learn from. By way of background concerning the book of Proverbs, the book of Proverbs deals with attitudes as well as motives. And the attitudes and motives that are involved in the book include such things as envy and anger, pride, self-control, love, humility, showing respect of persons, and many other things. We could list a full page almost of the different subjects that are covered in the book of Proverbs. There is a sharp contrast that is drawn between what is wisdom and what is folly, what is righteousness and what is sin, what is vice and what is virtue. And we have these contrasts, these comparisons throughout the book of Proverbs. And remember, that's what proverb means. It's a contrast. It's a comparison. And that's exactly what you have in the book. We have social problems such as the relations between husband and wife, the relations between master and servant, the relations between parents and children, the relations between servant and master, rulers and subjects. All of these are emphasized and brought out in the book of Proverbs, and so it deals with various attitudes and motives. But the book of Proverbs also deals with various duties. We have, for example, man's duty to God that is emphasized in the book. We have man's duty to himself that is emphasized in the book. We have man's duty to his neighbors that is emphasized in the book, as well as man's duty to his family. All of these duties are given forth and prominence is given in the book of Proverbs in dealing with them. But as we stated at the very outset, the book of Proverbs, by way of background anyway, does have universal appeal. And yet when you look at the book, one of the things that stands out when you pay close attention to it is there is very little in the book that's actually distinctively Jewish. Now, think about this. When you look at the book of Proverbs, the name of Israel is not found in the book. The law of Moses is not referred to in the book. None of the great religious and political events of the history of Israel are recorded in the book of Proverbs. The temple is not mentioned. No priest or prophet is mentioned either to blame or to praise. There is no mention of any of the feasts of the Jews in the book. There is essentially very little that refers to Judaism that's found in the book of Proverbs, and that's why it can be universally accepted in so many different societies. But the book has been called the best book of success a young man can follow. And that is really true. But you have to remember, success is that which God qualifies as success, and it may not necessarily be what man considers to be success. And it is such that Solomon in the book of Proverbs deals with this. The book tells of a lifestyle that is based upon reverence toward God. And it's emphasized throughout the book when it speaks concerning the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, or the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, or the fear of the Lord is, it is speaking concerning reverence and respect for God. And it is such that it acknowledges him as being the ruler of the universe, acknowledges him as being the ruler of all things, the ruler of our lives, and that it is such that one must begin there if he is going to build his life the way that God would have him to build it. Now, certainly that becomes interesting when you consider the fact that Solomon is the one who's telling us this. Because if Solomon is writing this in his latter years when he has turned his heart away from God due to the many marriages that he had, how hypocritical could it be that he is telling us and telling those, the young man that he's writing to, concerning these things when he himself would not do it? But in his middle ages, when he became king, and when he began leading the children of Israel, he certainly was the wise man. He was the one who was leading in the way that God would have him to go. And certainly these parables, these proverbs from the Old Testament, would demonstrate and exemplify what the fear of the Lord actually involved in the life of Solomon. It's interesting that although Solomon authored some 3,000 proverbs, we're told, 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 32, that there are only about 500 that are in all the Bible from Solomon. And therefore, 2,500 of those proverbs that he spoke, that he gave, we have no record of at all. And the majority of those, of course, are found in the book of Proverbs, though, as we've stated from the very outset, many of the proverbs, or at least some of the proverbs in the book of Proverbs, are not from Solomon himself. They are from others, but they were still considered to be wise sayings. Keys to the book of Proverbs. The key word in the book of Proverbs is that of wisdom, and we would certainly recognize that that is the case. The key verses, I give two different ones. The first one being chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. We read part of that a little while ago. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. But then also, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, where Solomon says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. By the way, that's very much the counsel that Solomon received from David before he ever became king, in order to be what God would have him to be. Key chapters in the book of Proverbs would be chapter 4, where Solomon speaks concerning the blessings of wisdom, and of course chapter 31, where we have recorded concerning the virtuous woman and the description of her. Key phrase in the book of Proverbs is the fear of the Lord, and the several incidences where it is recorded there in the book of Proverbs. When you consider an outline of the book of Proverbs, it is similar to that of the book of Psalms, in that, you remember from the book of Psalms, it is divided up into five different books, among the Jews anyway. Well, the book of Proverbs is divided up into five different units or five different parts. It begins with an introduction, as we have already read. It gives practical purpose for the book of Proverbs. And then part one is Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 through chapter 9. These are Proverbs of Solomon concerning the value and attainment of wisdom. In fact, the first nine chapters of the book of Proverbs simply deal with wisdom and the importance of attaining wisdom and having wisdom. The second part of the book of Proverbs starts with chapter 10, verse 1, and goes through chapter 22, verse 16. It, too, involves Proverbs of Solomon, but Proverbs that are dealing with practical morality. The third part of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 17 through chapter 24, are Proverbs of the wise, the admonitions to get wisdom and to follow after it. Part 4, chapter 25 through chapter 29, these two are Proverbs of Solomon, selected by the men of Hezekiah, we are told, and they involve the practice of wisdom, the contrast between the righteous and the wicked. And then the final part, chapters 30 and 31, the words of Agur, as well as King Lemuel. And these involve lessons concerning God and men and nature, chapter 30. Chapter 31, the praise of a virtuous woman. And so there you have a brief outline concerning the book of Proverbs. Now, in each of these books, we've also tried to bring out Christ being in the book, if that is the case. In the book of Proverbs, there's no real designations concerning the Christ, references concerning the Messiah. Again, remember, there is very little in the book of Proverbs that deals with specifically Jewish things, and therefore the Messiah is not referred to. But it is important to remember that Christ would refer to the book of Proverbs. He would appeal back to the book of Proverbs several times, and even his Sermon on the Mount was very similar to the Proverbs that Solomon would record here in the book of Proverbs. Well, what are some of the lessons that we can learn from the book of Proverbs? Well, certainly one lesson that I believe we need to learn is that Solomon was a good teacher, but he was a poor example. He was a good teacher, but he was a poor example, especially in his latter life. In the latter years, he did not walk in the way of wisdom. He did not walk in the way of the Lord. He turned his heart away from God because of not following the word of God as it related to marrying strange wives and the multiplicity of wives. By the way, his son Rehoboam, who will have the kingship after him, will follow his example rather than his admonitions. And as a result of that, Rehoboam will be listed among the foolish and evil rulers of the kingdom of Israel. At that time, of course, the kingdom of Judah, once it is divided. Another lesson that we can learn from the book of Proverbs is concerning the wise man and the foolish. And certainly that ought to remind us concerning the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave, Matthew chapter 7. But here, Solomon speaks concerning that one of the main subjects in the book of Proverbs is the contrast between one who is wise and one who is foolish. And the thought is carried further in the contrast between one who is righteous and one who is unrighteous. The wise man is one who is a righteous man. The foolish man is one who is unrighteous. And that is certainly brought out in the book of Proverbs. But through the book of Proverbs, we can also learn the products of knowledge. And we have them basically given to us in the first four verses of chapter 1, and yet they're elaborated on throughout the rest of the book. And so Solomon says that if we will look carefully into the things that God wants us to know, we will receive instruction. We will receive instruction. And yet the word instruction is used in different senses in the book of Proverbs itself. For example, Proverbs chapter 3 and in verse 11, "My son, despise not chastening of the Lord." Proverbs chapter 23, verse 13, "Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die." And yet, in both of those incidences, the word there is the Hebrew word for instruction. And it is saying that we have a need for discipline. And God expects us to discipline. In fact, it also acknowledges that there are different kinds of discipline. And that's something that many times we fail to remember. There is that which is instructional discipline. There is that which is preventative discipline. And there is that which is correctional discipline. And all of those are instruction. All of those are disciplines that God expects of us. We are ones that we do not like discipline, generally speaking. We are ones that we do not like to discipline others, our children or whoever it may be. And we are ones who certainly do not like to have discipline, the discipline of God, brought upon our lives. And yet, the point is that in order to know God and to know ourselves in such a way that God would have us to, we will discover what real discipline is. And that is part of what the book of Proverbs is all about. But secondly, there is the word understanding that we can glean from. This really means the ability to discriminate between things. Discrimination has a very negative connotation in our day and time, and yet it is used in a very positive way in Scripture, and certainly it should be such with us as well. When Solomon prayed for knowledge, when he asked, when God asked him what he wanted, and he said that he wanted knowledge, he actually asked for the ability to discriminate when you look at what he says there in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9. And so Solomon says, as you really come to know God's word, you will not only learn what real discipline is, but you will also learn discrimination in a positive, upright way. Sometimes life becomes so complex that it's hard for us to see at once the difference between truth and error. But discrimination or understanding is necessary for successful living. And that's God's insight into man's lives. Third word is that for not only instruction and wisdom, but also that of discernment. And it is related to justice and judgment and equity. And with such, it simply brings out that we can discover the right kind of discernment that can turn disaster into unbelievable triumph. Finally, the fourth word is that of discretion. Solomon says, if we understand the things of God, It will give subtlety to the simple. And the Bible teaches that it is necessary in our lives to be shrewd spiritually. Now, that does not mean the idea of being deceptive, but it does mean that we are to be ones who are cunning in doing what's right, and yet as harmless as doves, as we're told by Christ. We use discretion in order to live the way that God wants us to live and to do the things that God wants us to do. And we must take time to learn who God is, what God says, and what God requires of us in order to be shrewd spiritually. And so Solomon brings forth the idea that discipline, discretion, discernment, and discrimination lead us to a discovery of what the real will of God is. And certainly the book of Proverbs is written so that we might understand the temporal as well as the tragic consequences of sin. And there are consequences, always have been. When we go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, we see there are consequences for sin. And the book of Proverbs brings forth that idea that there will be consequences that will have to be paid, that will come as a result of the sins that we commit. And the book of Proverbs helps us to see in all avenues of life that God's way is the only way that is acceptable. It is the best way, and therefore we need to know it and then seek to apply it to our lives. We emphasized this morning in the teenage class, we're studying the book of James, and how that James says we are to be swift to hear. And yet what he is saying there is hear and then implement in your life. He says don't be a hearer of the word only, but a hearer and a doer. And that if we're not a doer of the word, then it hasn't done us any good to have heard the word. And so with such, it is very much what Solomon is saying in the book of Proverbs, that we must hear what God has to say to us through his word concerning himself, concerning our relationship with him and our relationship with others, but not only hear it, we must put it into practice. And that's what James is talking about. We are to learn that he who made us knows how we are to live. And the life that is lived in the fullness of submission to God is the life that he requires of us. The book of Proverbs is truly a great book. As we stated at the very outset, it is a book that is often neglected, and yet it is so needed in our world today. It's needed in the church today to know those great lessons, those great proverbs that God would have us to know and to learn from them. If you're outside the body of Christ this evening, we plead with you to study the scriptures to see if these things are so. We plead with you to study them to find out what God would have you to do in order to become a New Testament Christian, a babe in Christ. If you do such with an open mind and a willing heart, you will find out that one must believe the word of God, and he must believe it with all of his heart. He must be willing to repent of his sins, confessing his faith in Christ, and be immersed in water to have his sins washed away, to become a New Testament Christian, thereby being added to the family of God, the church that Jesus purchased with his own blood on the cross, and that which is the army of the Lord. The invitation song is selected to encourage you if you need to respond. If you're one who's already a member of the body of Christ, who's gone back into the world, we plead with you to come back in repentance, praying to God for forgiveness of your sins. And if we can help you in any way, please come as together we stand and as we sing.